AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 1973 podcast. I'm your host, AC, and this is episode 4, one of our favorite numbers, 4. So I'd like to say what's up to my two brothers from other mothers, Ed and Tom. What's up, guys? How's it going?
What's going on, my man? Well.
So we want to start out by mentioning it's one of my favorite times of year. All hockey hair team from Minnesota. Love that stuff every year. Then when they make the video, it's great. I just get a kick out of it. Big shout out. We were talking about it before we went on the air. The kid that on his stick tape wrote, "Will you go to the prom with me?" And I thought that was genius. Tom, thoughts on that? So we can kick off this podcast.
Oh, the guy, kid's got some huge cojones to do that, you know? It's I don't know if it's cojones or if he knows the girl can't say no because everybody in Minnesota at a school knows who he was talking about. So
Right. Ed, I don't know if you saw that. Did you end up seeing that?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, wicked cool. They introduce each kid and they go up to the camera and he had written on his stick tape, "Sarah, will you go to the prom with me?" And flash it right in the camera. And from what I understand, she did say yes. So they took a picture afterwards. I guess it went all over. It kind of went viral. So it really was something that they've been doing for a while. It really brought some national attention. So I always think it's pretty cool with the haircut. Somebody cut their hair this year, like the Blues of the Clown with a bald on top and the hair's long on the side. Really cool. If you get a chance to check it out, it just got posted. So I'm sure it'll go around. So it's worth checking out. So we want to kick this off with a little bit of baseball talk. Tom wanted to talk about some preseason stuff. So what do you got, Tom?
Well, they've added 4 rules this year to baseball, and I'm not sure if I like all of them or not. I know they're trying to speed up the game. The average time of the game last year was 3 hours and 6 minutes, and so they're trying to speed the game up. So they've added 4 rules, and the first one is they made the bases bigger. Bases are – it's almost like – the size of a pizza box almost. It's like they're like 3 inches wider than they were before, and they supposedly between the regular bases they've cut 4.5 inches off of the baseline from making it closer because they're trying to make it easier to steal a base, and that they're trying to make it more exciting, they say, for the fans, and add because the runs are down, so they're trying to make that is one of the changes with the bases. And the home plate is the same, but they didn't change the size of home plate naturally because of the strike zone. But they've between home plate and third base it's like 3.5 inches shorter than what it was originally. So they're trying to – that's the first thing. And then the thing that really bugs me is they've changed the they've added a pitch – a clock for the pitchers. So they have 30 seconds once they have the ball from the catcher. I think it's 15 seconds to start their pitching motion if there's nobody on base to start their pitching motion. And at the same time, the batter has to be in the batter's box facing the pitcher. And if he's not, you've seen it in spring training. They've started calling it either strikes or box, one or the other. If the pitcher takes too long, they'll call a balk if there's somebody on base. And if the batter does it, it's a strike. They had the Red Sox game. It might have been their first exhibition game or second exhibition game. The game ended because the Braves had the bases loaded and the guy wasn't in the batter's box in time, and the umpire called a strike, and it was his third strike, so the game ended because of that. So that's the second rule. The third one is they're not letting you shift the infield. You're not going to be able to have your shortstop or your second baseman go to the other side of the field. You can only have two guys on either side of second base now. You can't bring a third guy over. So they're trying to sorry about that. They're trying to help the offense because batting average. Nobody's hitting anymore. The average batting average last year in baseball was .243. So they're trying to speed up. They're trying to make it better for the fans. And I don't know. I don't like. I'm a purist. I don't like them messing with the games too much. I can see the games lasting too long. Try to do that, but some of these I just think are going a little bit like the pitch thing with these pitchers. I don't like the pitch clock on the pitchers.
So it's almost going to be like basketball with the shot clock, almost kind of deal.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have too much to add other than just every time that they try to tweak tradition with things, it never works out. And even like it could go to the adding teams thing. I mean, it wouldn't be so watered down with talent if you didn't keep adding teams. I mean, you condense a lot of the talent and guys wouldn't even be in the league. So, I mean, you knock yourself out with that one, Ed. Take it away.
Well, let's see. The whole base thing, that's just dumb. That's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, 3 inches, it's really not going to make that much of a difference if somebody's stealing or not. Now, Tom, I'm going to disagree with you with that pitch clock, man.
Three inches makes a difference, Ed. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. I know. That's what she said. Anyway, but the pitch clock actually works pretty well. It actually speeds up the game. You know, because the thing about it is, I mean, think about how many times you're sitting there watching somebody adjust their cup, you know, adjust their batting gloves, you know, dig in, you know, then they dip out and then they step back in. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, so it really like watching, because I got a minor league baseball team right down the street, which is a Milwaukee farm team. It's AA baseball. And they've had the pitch clock down there for the past 2 years. And man, it makes the game much more enjoyable because nobody's screwed around. It's get in the box and the pitcher throws. And the thing is I think part of that, I think, you know, Tom, going to your point about the .243 average batting average, I mean, part of it is like, because part of it is the pitch, like, you know, they're going up there and they're doing the, you know, money ball stuff. Well, the thing about it is you speed it up. Now the ball has to come quicker. You can't be sitting there and doing all that, you know, playing games. It's like you got to throw the ball, and which means the batter has to hit the ball. It's a very simple game. You know, baseball is not that hard to figure out. I mean, you know, there is a ball and they throw the ball and then there's a bat and it's supposed to hit it, you know? And I think that part of it is that we've really, I think part of the reason why you've seen so much of these batting averages so low like that is because the specialization of pitchers. I mean, they bring a guy in for one batter, you know, and then, you know, I mean, there's sometimes, especially in the playoffs, there's sometimes 3 or 4 pitchers and, you know, in one inning. Just so, I mean, you know, I mean, you look back, you know, I mean, you know, Clemens used to throw complete games, you know, and I believe that was before PEDs.
I believe
that was when everybody was on them. So
I believe they're changing the thing with the pitchers now. If you bring a pitcher and I think he has to face at least 3 batters now before you can take him out.
I mean, I think that that's better, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, and Andy, to your point, yeah. I mean, this whole messing with tradition type stuff, you know, it kind of goes like to the shootout, you know, with a 4-4 shenanigans that they do with hockey. It's like, come on, man, just play the game. The game is supposed to be 5-on-5, you know, and then baseball is supposed to be baseball. Well, juice the balls back up or juice the players back up again, if you want me to be politically incorrect on that one.
Good. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, I mean, like the thing about it is just like, you know, I mean, nobody was complaining when Sosa and McGuire were, you know, jacking runs out of the ballpark when they were juiced to the gills. Just saying.
Probably one of the more popular seasons that people remember in all the cloud of stuff they forgot. So it's kind of valid point though, Ed. Very, very valid point.
The only
thank you, sir.
The one other rule they've changed this year is they're not letting the pitcher, he can only throw over to first base if there's a runner on base. He can only throw over two times per batter now. So that'll speed the game up a little more too. But I don't know. See, I'm a purist. Call me an old man, but I'm like, you know, they're trying to change the game for these younger kids who are sitting there with their phones in their hands and they're so used to the 30-second TikTok videos and, God forbid, a game lasts for 3 hours.
Right. The attention span has changed too. So, yes. I mean, that's that could be part of the problem too. It's not just the culture. It's the culture as a whole with electronics too has changed. So you would think that factors in somehow.
I'm off my soapbox now.
So I want to talk about a new segment that I'm trying to bring along here. It's called Who's in the Hall of Fame? And every once in a while, we get in a conversation with a friend of ours who shall remain nameless, who always loves this subject because if he had his way, there'd be like five guys in the Hall of Fame. So with that being said, on the road to WrestleMania every year, what they've been trying to do recently over the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so, is they'll release names going into the WrestleMania for the night before with the Hall of Fame, and it's a thing. So they usually announce usually a big name to start it off, and we're going to start the first segment off and we'll talk about this guy. It's Rey Mysterio. So thoughts on Rey Mysterio. Is Rey Mysterio a Hall of Famer? What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's a no-brainer.
Okay.
He's held the championships between WCW and WWE 24 times.
Okay.
He's held all of them. So he's had the Grand Slam. So, and that doesn't even count what he's done in Mexico. He's a no-brainer to me.
Ed, what do you think?
I agree 100%. You know, I mean, is he in the category of like Ric Flair or Hogan? I don't think so.
We're going to save that for another episode because we'll get there. We'll get there.
But I mean, yeah. Do I believe that he belongs in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. No questions.
Okay.
No questions.
Put it this way. He belongs to be in there before Coco Beware and a few other.
I always say, for my measuring stick, being a purist with that stuff, Coco Beware, Johnny Rods in the Hall of Fame, that's your measuring stick. I mean, let's not get into the political side of it, of how they have to induct certain people every year and to meet a demographic. We'll get there. But as far as my take on Rey Mysterio, internationally, whether, you know, you go to Mexico or you go overseas, he draws money. Yeah, I mean, he sells merchandise for them. I mean, those masks, I mean, he appeals to kids. They don't have a lot of that anymore. I think the superhero aspect of what the WWE with Vince, he's like a perfect marketing tool since Vince has had him. I mean, even when he's not there, he probably sells masks. You see kids all the time at the shows with masks, especially when he comes out, they love to show the, you know, the kids wearing the mask. So as far as my take on it, I think he arguably, depending on what type of wrestling history you enjoy, I think he could probably be the greatest masked wrestler of all time. I don't know if that's a bold statement, but I'm saying he's right up there with legendary status, like maybe Mil Máscaras, and that's it. I mean, if he's not one, he's in the top three easy, and that, maybe I'm forgetting somebody or I'm being biased towards one or two because I like him so much. But my take on it is, if he is a Hall of Famer, I'm gonna give it the yes. He does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So, Ed, you want to talk a little bit about the upcoming road to the NHL playoffs? I thought we would have that on the docket this week. What do you think? What do you got in the tank?
Well, let me load it up a little bit.
Yep.
You know, well, I'll take what I saw on Saturday. I mean, yep. Bruins looked pretty well on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, they look like they can seriously play. They can skate. They can hit. You know. I'd have to say that. You know, I'm still going with my picks from last week. I'm still going with Colorado and Tampa. as the Stanley to meet in the Stanley Cup as a rematch from last year. I just think that both of those teams are probably the two most complete teams that are out there. In a very long, long time ago, with the Bruins, remember the whole fog incident at the old Boston Garden when they played Edmonton, and all the honks, Tommy,
honk honk,
yeah. I mean, when they were talking about
I was at that game. Yep.
And everybody was talking about how Edmonton was not going to beat the Bruins and everything like that. And we all saw what happened. So, that's great that you're the fastest to 50 games and everything like that. But, playoff hockey is very different than regular season hockey. So that's my take.
Tom, you got a rebuttal for?
Not really a rebuttal. It's just I can't wait. These last few wild card spots are still up for grabs. I just can't wait. I'm having fun watching like Florida battle for the last spot, and it's like seems like every game or two they and the Islanders are flip flopping for that last spot. And it's the same thing with the Western Conference with Seattle and I think it's Winnipeg. I think they just keep flip flopping, and it just makes it fun watching when there's more for them to play for. And I mean, granted. You like watching, if you're a fan, you like watching it anytime, but it just seems like as it gets closer to the playoffs, like Ed said, the intensity picks up, the hitting picks up, and I just think I like that. And as far as the Bruins yesterday, they sleepwalked through the first period, but they did play well the rest of the game. But
so, Tom, you said that they were a little snake bit there in the first period, if you want to go old school TV 38?
Yeah, they did, but you know what? That you played your you play to who you're playing with. It seemed like they played down to their talent. And same thing happened with them today. They lost today to Detroit. So I think it's just one of those things. They played down to the talent. And I think Montgomery's going to start resting guys more over the next couple of weeks.
They definitely don't need the points at all. You know what I mean? They can actually, if he was smart, they would try to rest some of the guys just, for the sake of not burning them out or whatever. And maybe, go that route. Who knows? I mean, that President Trophy, Chris, is brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
I don't want to see them go after the record. I know all the pink hats are dying for them to break the record. I don't want to see them. I'd rather see them rest these guys and keep them healthy for the playoffs. You've already seen Foligno and Hall get hurt, so you don't want anyone else getting hurt down the line.
Right. Yeah. It tends to kind of be seasonal around here with, it's lousy because you go in the store and you see no Bruins stuff, but yet if they won, you would see a ton of stuff. I mean, you walk through a Target, a Walmart, you see hardly any Bruins stuff, mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, if they were to win the Eastern Conference, you would see t-shirts all of a sudden. It just bothers me how it's so seasonal around here with that stuff. It's crazy. It's absolutely. And I mean, it's, it sucks for you too, Ed, because down there, I'm sure to find something hockey related for apparel must be like ridiculous.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Well, NHL-wise, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, NHL-wise, it's exciting to watch. I mean, and even the Western Conference, the top spot still pretty much up for grabs with, who is that? I think it's Vancouver and Dallas, I think it is. And I don't know. Colorado might be up there. I really haven't paid too much
attention.
They're
like in third place.
Yeah.
I was hoping that Ottawa would sneak in one of those wild card spots. I really thought they were fun to watch, plus having Giroux on the team too, and they just got Chychrun. So I was hoping they would make a little bit of noise.
Over the next couple of years, they and Buffalo are going to be, they're up and coming. They got some good young talent on both those teams. That they're good. The East is going to get tougher. I mean, as tough as it is right now, it's going to get more tough to make the playoffs with those teams getting better.
Yeah. Speaking of the next couple of years, let's bring up another subject. Let's see. I want Tom's take on this. Danny Briere in. Fletcher out. What do you think?
I like it. To be honest with you, I think they need, instead of just regurgitating all these guys from other organizations, like give somebody a chance to that. Give you need a fresh set of perspective for these guys, for the team, for the outlook of the team. I like it.
And he is a Flyers guy. We'll put that out there, Flyer guy.
Now, I'd like to see them go in a different direction with – I'm not a big Tortorella fan. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's awesome on, to listen man. To, but he's just
– Come on.
He's not a guy for a young team like that. They need a younger coach. Like, Tortorella's going to scare the crap out of these guys, and they're going to be afraid to make a mistake.
That's what young players need. God, kindler, gentler coaching. What the hell is that?
So the thing I was hoping for this year, but I mean, not that I'm not happy that they got Tortorella out of the guys that were available, but I wanted Rick Tocchet, because if the Briere thing had happened too, now you would have had two former Flyer guys involved. And I heard that there's some buzz that they were going to make either Pronger or Lindros in charge of not the president, but high up there on the food chain. And why not? You got to get that vibe back that Ed Snyder had with the Flyers, and it's gone. You mean you listen to a lot of other podcasts, whether it's Spittin' Chicklets or Nasty Knuckles. One of the, you know, they always talk about how the culture has changed since, you know, Ed Snyder passed away. And I think they need to get back to that. I think they, you know, when the Rangers traded Ryan Reeves, I wish he had gone to Philly just for that toughness. I mean, if you're going to lose, you might as well go back to like 1968 where you're losing, but you're kicking everybody's ass doing it. So they need to go back to something like that, some identity of how things used to be, and then kind of go from there. But
yeah, but your boyfriend would never let that happen, though.
I know. Tough. It's definitely
Fletcher,
tough.
Fletcher sealed his fate, I think, with the ownership when he didn't trade JVR at the deadline.
Right, right.
He was their biggest chip to trade.
He said that he has an app for trades. And what does he go on? EA Hockey, NHL 23, and try to put the trade in and see if it goes through, and then he shoots the team a trade. I don't know if I don't know. I would have liked to have seen Giroux finish his career there. I wonder if Briere had been there sooner, if they would have kept him. He was close to, he didn't want to leave. You know, they just talked to him about leaving. And then he, you know, suddenly gave some choices of where he wanted to go, you know, hoping to get onto Florida for that cup run that they had, and it kind of fizzled out. His other choice was Colorado. So, I mean, he picked wrong. Now he's back home in Ottawa. So, I mean, it's the same thing we talk about. I think we've consistently hit on that for all four podcasts already, that it's just so bad the way they do things now with, you know, pro sports, especially the hockey, where there's no tradition anymore. They want you to buy the tradition, you know, buy the t-shirt that says established in 1926 or established in 1960, but you don't act like it. You know what I mean? You don't go with your fan base. You don't know your fan base. I really don't think they know the fan base anymore, but go ahead.
Fletcher last hit. Another thing that killed Fletcher is that game, what was it, 2 weeks ago, when there was probably twice as many Ranger fans in the crowd in Philadelphia for that game. That was embarrassing.
That is an all-time low for them, because I know for a fact that that's never happened before. I mean, you would watch the Flyers on the road and you would hear the Let's Go Flyers chants mm-hmm. from opposing buildings. You know, that they have a national fan base like the Bruins do. They go, they're one of those teams that when they go on the road, almost every place that has some kind of history to it, there's Flyers fans there, a group of them. And every once in a while, you'll hear the Let's Go Flyers chants in an opposing building. So they need to get back to that. They need that identity. They're not exciting to watch. I mean, even when they were bad, they were good back in the day. And they need to get back to that. If they're going to lose, at least take some names, you know, pull Doug Glatt, grab somebody and do something, you know.
Put a stick in their side, let them know that they're there.
Yeah, definitely. Gotta go old school with some of that stuff.
D'Angelo, wasn't he just saying, you do that, Ed, a couple weeks ago? Come on.
He did do that.
He said hello.
He got suspended for it. Did we talk about that last week with the spear?
Nope.
It happened to Corey Perry, and you know how Corey Perry is. He's not known for being a cream puff by any means. So there must have been some kind of banter all game, and you know the hockey coverage is lousy. They'll never give the whole story, like the Brashear Marty McSorley stick incident. It's always the after effect. They never tell you what the lead up to it was. But
bad storytelling.
Bad storytelling from get go. But you know, the scrum in front of the net, and D'Angelo came through the pile and stuck his stick. I think he got him right in the chones.
Just checking to make sure he had his cup, make sure it was adjusted. That's all.
Cup check. Yep. That's a cup check. That's all it was.
Old school cup check.
Yeah, cup check.
But I don't think there's a lot of love around the league for the way that Corey Perry plays. But, you know, D'Angelo's had his problems too. Not known for being the best teammate, but Ed, any extra NHL stuff you want to add on this road to the playoffs?
No.
It's just like that. You got nothing.
Nah, I got nothing.
Tom, if we close out the NHL portion of this part of the podcast, you have anything going into it Bruins-wise or anything else?
I think I'm still going with Boston, but I think I'm going to change my final pick for the West. I think I'm going to go with Vegas. I just think they're offensively, I think they're just well balanced. Now it all depends on their goaltending, which that's for with any team, but
yeah, that's what I'm going with. Eichel was taking a beating the other night against Tampa. They really gave it to him. That was good to see.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of Eichel. I had not too much good about him, like with the fans. Like, he doesn't sign for the kids and all that other stuff. So right there, you know, I can't have that, you know, when you're not good to the kids.
Read too much of his he was busy reading too many of his headlines from BU.
Yeah. You can't live on your college for forever. Mm-hmm. But Tom, we're gonna switch gears a little bit to your pick of the week for album.
My album for this week, 1984.
Oh,
Van Halen.
Oh, what can we say about 1984?
Papaticha, Panama.
The last album with Dave.
That's the last album with Dave. And of course, Eddie Van Halen was the man on guitar, kicked ass on that. I use that anytime I need to get fired up.
That album was the like MTV in an album right there. That's pretty much this. So many iconic videos from that. Talk about that forever. I saw them at the Civic Center for that tour, and Dave was I never would have thought that when I saw them that time, the concert was so big that I never thought that would be the last time he would be with them by the look of everything. Everything was so big. It was like I don't want to say it was like a Kiss show, but it was big like a Kiss show. It you know, not as much pyro and everything like that. But fun fact about that Panama video, the concert parts from that were filmed at the Providence Civic Center. I don't know if that was that.
I did not know that.
Now you do. Now and no
one has half the battle.
Go Joe.
Yeah.
Hey, fun fact, Hasbro's headquarters was in Rhode Island. There you go.
Pawtucket.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like the Pawtucket Brewery from Family Guy.
That's right. Go Hog Rhode Island, baby.
Not a real place. Wish it was, though.
It would be fun.
That was Dave's last album with them. You could, for a while there. Can you imagine all the crap that was going on back behind the scenes on that album?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the thing I could never understand about the two brothers were all the time that Dave was with Van Halen, he was in charge of all their marketing. So every T-shirt from 84 back, every album cover, they didn't want to have nothing to do with that. And part of Dave's appeal with getting along with those guys was he wasn't so much the music guy, which you probably know, but he was all about promoting their image. He was the interview guy, you know, the so
Quick
everything
self-promoter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, put him in front of a microphone, man, and he put on a hell of a show.
Oh yeah, you know? Even like the interviews, you know? Like he would do with like MTV, like with Martha Quinn and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He really embraced. He was like perfect for MTV at the time.
Yes, he was.
You know, the first video that they made actually for MTV was one album back, Pretty Woman. It was like a world premiere video for them. And it was like, I think it was Extra Time at the time, like how Thriller was for Michael Jackson. But, you know, it was like their first big premiere video that, and they were the first ones to do it. So credit to them because they kind of embraced that whole MTV thing when a lot of bands were kind of not really big on the MTV thing, but he came along at the right time for then they kind of they had a perfect marriage well until he left, and then you know his solo career was what it was. So thoughts on
that? Come on, Skyscraper was a good album.
Eat Him a Smile, I think, was better. we can debate that one. It's like Living in Paradise.
Yeah.
But
just a gigolo, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, all the that Dave's a couple knockoff cover songs there to get the solo career started. They were pretty good.
But they played the hell out of it on MTV though.
Well, it was perfect for it. I mean, it was perfect for it. You know, yeah. He knew his audience and he knew how to ham it up. Nobody hams it up better than him. I would have to say for arguably one of the, I don't know, maybe as far as showmanship, he's got to be right up there. Ed, what do you think?
I can't disagree with you on that, man. I mean, he just put on such a great show. You know, I mean, you put a microphone in front of Dave. I mean, it went from 0 to 100 really quick, you know?
Well, back then, people will never understand this, but he's got assless chaps on in a video for Yankee Rose, and all regular guys are going, hey, that guy's pretty cool. But he's got his ass hanging out. it was a different time, right? Just totally different. I mean, going to the Rob Halford thing. I mean, how people didn't even know what was going on with him. But they thought Judas Priest was like the best of the bad, right?
Yeah.
It was like them and Iron Maiden at the time. They were like the two, the new wave of British heavy metal. It was those two.
British metal, yeah, for sure.
These guys are all in leather. You know what I mean? And nobody picked up on it. Nope. I mean, go back and look at the video for Hot Rockin'. I mean, they were in the steam room. You know, it's a sauna.
Right.
The name of the album is Point of Reentry. You know what I mean? It's like, you didn't get it. You didn't pick up on all that stuff.
Nope.
I don't believe it. Hey, Andy, I don't believe that they told us that one when we were sitting in that stupid thing when we were in junior high school.
I mean, you used to draw your bands on your book covers. Remember?
That's right.
Whatever band you were into, you draw them on your book covers. And it's a lost art.
Yeah. I mean, nobody, you know, they don't take the paper bags and cover the books anymore.
No. Do they even have books?
I don't believe so.
Yeah,
I'm sure they do. They do. I mean, they do, but, you know.
But we're going to wrap this up for this week. We're going to close it up. Any points going out of this, you guys? Are we good? Are we going to wrap up episode 4?
At the risk of losing man points, I got to wish my wife a happy birthday for tomorrow.
You know what's funny about that? Our boy, Dennis Rose. It's his
Same
birthday.
Day.
It's his birthday today.
Nice.
I don't know if he was watching. There's a lot of people that troll this podcast. Like I said, everybody says it's cool when they watch it, but you know they have to watch it just to be nosy. So we know you who you are. We know who you are. So our buddy Dennis, we want to wish him a happy birthday. He's turning the big 5-0, so he's in the club. He's officially the first one in the club.
So, yeah, maybe he can shine up that fake tooth.
That's a story in itself. That's a story right there.
That's a whole episode.
That's a whole episode. We're saving
that.
That
is a whole episode, yeah.
We're saving that one. When we get our buddy on here, you know who it is. We're going to bring
light
that
him up.
If we had
never
left
our shoes, pal.
Yeah. If we had never ever left a certain place, that stuff would never happen. I'm going to stick to my guns on that.
Famous last words.
I'm going to second that motion.
Yeah. Yeah. We were having a good time. And then. Yeah.
Why did we have to leave?
And then the whole Wild West breaks out. And if somebody gets capped in the face.
Somebody gets socked in the eye.
Yep. Somebody put a pool ball in a sock, cracked in the face. Things happen. You know, bad things happen. It's a melee. That's why we don't go out anymore. It's the bad stuff happens. People have to relocate out of the state.
Yep.
People get divorced, separated. Stuff happens.
It does. It does.
The people that should get divorced don't. We know secrets, and we're willing to tell them. If it puts this podcast over, we're going to do it. In closing, we want to give a shout out to our boy Scotty at Brock Street Brewery. Check him out when you see him. Might have to do a deep dive on that one. But in closing, I just want to say, in the meantime and in between time, that's Tom, there's Ed, and I'm AC, and we're out.
See you next week.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.